Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AVEVA's 2019 full year financial results conference call and webcast. I now hand over to Mustafa Fuerat Kurucu, CEO, and Tuğrul Gemici, IR. Dear speakers, the floor is yours.
Hello, everyone. Have a nice day, first of all. I would like to welcome you to our full year 2019 call. I hope you can follow up the presentation on our website. I will kick off with the second page, where we have a summary of how we did over the last five years since we have become a public company at the end of 2014. This is sort of a five-year summary of how we did. Then I will focus on 2019 specifics. Our major product lines are, as you know, pensions and protection. In the pensions, the key value driver is assets under management, and we have seen an average year-on-year growth of around 26% since 2015. Likewise, our second and actually more profitable protection business has grown at about 42% since our IPO. Resulting technical profits from those two businesses have seen an increase of 22% CAGR. Also with the improvement in our expense ratio coming from almost 60% to 45%, we have seen a profit increase of an average 40% per year since 2015. Our ROE now stands at about 34% for the last two years, 2018 and 2019. In terms of local GAAP profit, actually we have seen an increase of 86% CAGR, albeit from a smaller base than IFRS profit, but at 215% last year, we have also achieved a good local profitability, which also resulted a significant increase in our dividend as well. We have seen our dividends grow from 30 million to 160 million over the last five years, and this means around 51% CAGR over the last five years. This is sort of a summary of how we did over the last five years since our IPO. Specifically for 2019, we have seen continued growth across all line items. Pensions assets under management have grown by about 34% on the back of a rather depressed 2018, all known reasons, as you might guess. The protection business has revitalized and have ended the year at about 75% growth. This has particularly happened in the second half, stronger growth in the second half. The technical profitability grew by 17%, a slight improvement in expense ratio, and significant improvement in our financial income resulted in about 20% growth in our IFRS profit and 12% in SFRS profit. The main reason between IFRS and SFRS profit is the new business strain coming from our long-term life businesses. That profitability emerges over a number of years, and there's a new business strain in the earlier years, especially in our flagship return of premium product. The VNB is an indication of future profits and has seen around 80% growth versus the previous year. As we have also disclosed last week, we have a dividend proposal of 160 million TL, which is 60% increase from the prior year and around 75% payout ratio from our distributable profit. So this is sort of the year in a nutshell. I could summarize it as a rather successful year. Despite economic hardships, you know, the first half and the second half were different, especially regarding our credit life business. I should tell you that, you know, because of the longer term nature of our business, 2018 financial crisis didn't impact us in 2018, but had more impact in 2019. Despite that, we have seen a strong growth around 20% year on year, and I should tell you that the stronger momentum in second half of 2019 should help us in 2020 and beyond. So I will say it was a good year. If we focus more in detail, maybe we can look at page 4. Here is you see there's 27% year-on-year growth or CAGR growth since 2015, and around 20% growth for the net profit on IFRS basis at 20%. Our ROE is now at 34, and our solvency ratio is at 176% before dividend payout. When we look at the business lines on page 6, you see that actually pension assets under management grew by about 34%. However, the pension technical profitability didn't grow that much, at about 4% only. This is mainly due to the fund mix of the pensions, where the certain funds, such as gold and foreign exchange denominated funds, grew, and money market funds, grew their percentage share in our total assets under management. Those are the funds with lower fund management charges. But as the markets correct and we see a similar growth in higher margin funds, we should see this recover as well. In terms of life protection, we have seen an 87% growth year on year. This is coming from both credit-linked business and also standalone life business, especially from our return of product, return of premium product. And this also reflected about, showed a 34% increase in our technical profit from this business line. The 87% increase in premium will emerge, will lead into profit in the coming months rather than in 2019. Personal accident, you know, this is a small product line, but nevertheless, we have seen continued increase over the years at about 16%. Last year was not a stellar year in terms of premiums, but in terms of profit, we had a good one. And have seen an increase of 25% year on year. The profitability in such smaller business lines could be a bit more volatile than the bigger business lines. Nevertheless, we are making a healthy profit margin of around 45-50% across different years. I think I will skip some more detail, and I will skip to page 8. Where we mentioned a bit about auto-enrollment. You know, auto-enrollment was launched in 2017, and since then there has been 6 different rounds of enrollments, and 2019 saw the last round with companies employing more than 5 people were enrolled. The enrollment process has finished. There has been significant opt-outs, as you might know, at about 70%, especially on the private sector. But now we have ended up at about 6 million auto-enrollment participants in the system, where we focus mainly on the private sector rather than the public sector, because public sector was shared almost 85% with the three state pension companies. So our focus area has always been private sector. And in terms of number of participants in the private sector, we are number one at about 17% market share in terms of numbers of participants. We have acquired a good position in the auto enrollment market, and we are currently waiting for potential new legislation around auto enrollment to make it a bigger business. So I will skip the details that are available in the pack. I think we have covered most of the critical parts so far. Maybe page 17 could be a good picture of where we have grown to in terms of embedded value. This is sort of the embedded value of our in-force book. The future expected net profits from our in-force book as of end of 2019 has surpassed 2 billion TL. And we keep on building on this embedded value. As you have seen, 5 years ago, we were at about 1,200. Now we are at 2 billion. So there is a steady increase. This is indicative of future profit growth as well. So maybe we can come to page 24, where this is going to be the first year that we see clarity in the marketplace to issue a guidance for 2020. I think the worst in terms of the financial, volatility is over, and we are looking into 2020 with more confidence. And our guidance on this page is focused on three big value drivers. One is pension assets under management. We have around 18.5% or so market share, and we are market leader in terms of assets under management. And our strategy is to continue our leadership positions, whatever it may come, especially with the upcoming auto enrollment legislation changes. I think there are further opportunities in the pensions, and we want to maintain our assets under management leadership at about 18-19% range, if you like. In terms of life premiums, this is a more profitable product line. We have seen significant growth in 2019, and we are also expecting significant growth in 2020. And this guidance of around 40% growth indicates a minimum expectation, and actually we wouldn't be surprised to see more growth than 40%. And in terms of net profit, in terms of IFRS, which is the real profitability metric for us, we have set ourselves a target of 25-35% growth versus 2019. As I reminded you, this is the first time that we issue guidance, and we are confident about that. But as the year progresses, we will issue updates on those guidance as well. So I'd like to note that while closing my presentation. So I'd like to thank you for listening to me, and we would like to open the call to questions, written or vocal. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, to participate in our written Q&A, type your question into the Ask a Question text area, then click the Submit button. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, if you have any comments or questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. Thank you.
Now, there's a written question. Let me read the question first. It's asking about the what's driving the sharp growth in life insurance and whether this is sustainable, and notes that the industry, the market is also growing. So what are the risks that we foresee in that segment? Now, first off, there are two key drivers of our growth behind life insurance. One is our return of premium product. This is a standalone product that shows that has a snowball impact and a long-term product of a minimum 12 years. This has been a major contributor to our growth. The second line, second growth area has been credit-linked business. You know, the credit market has really shrunk significantly due to economic volatility experienced since mid-2018. We have seen a fast recovery in the second half of 2019. The banks really increased their risk appetite, and there were a lot of activity with lower interest rates, etc. So this fueled a lot of growth. This was a market-wide growth, but we also see that we are differentiated from the rest of the market by a higher growth rate. This was also due to a new product that we positioned on credit-linked business. This is a long-term credit insurance with a single premium that really helped fuel our growth. And the proposition of the product is rather good for the customer as well. So this was one question. And there is another question, this time, about, let me see, about the pensions. Could you please give more insight on the embedded value in the pension business and when this stability in the persistency ratios? Can we see the average tenure increased from the current 8 years going forward? Okay. Now, pension persistency is certainly the key value driver in that business line. There is a significant new business strain in writing new business on pensions, and the payback periods ranges depending on the product and the channel, somewhere between 3 to 8 years. On average, I would say 5 years or so is, I think there is a page on this. The IRR is around 20% in pensions. We have the payback period missing here, but it's around five years on average on pensions. So persistency has improved in the second half, significantly improved. The exit rates were sky high after the economic volatility. This was only natural to see. That customers were experiencing financial hardships, but we have seen normalization since the beginning, since mid-2019, and actually we have reached pre-2017 levels in terms of lapse experience. So this is positive. I think this was helped also by attractive fund yields that we had in pensions. Some people may have seen the value in that. So I will say going forward, the key issue is the auto-enrollment or the new reforms around auto-enrollment and their potential impact on persistency, both in auto-enrollment and in private pensions. We know the regulator is not happy with 70% opt-out ratio, and they want to address this issue, and they want to introduce certain facilities for partial surrenders or bank loan collateral options for pension policies that should help the lapse rates and persistency in pensions. So I hope this covers most of the questions. And any more questions? There is one on audio, I think.
Thank you. Our first question by audio comes from John Munge from Vergent Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations for the strong set of results. My first question is with regards to the mathematical reserve. Should I assume that the sharp increase in this reserve is as a result of the new product that you are mentioning about in the life segment? And secondly, whether you could give us how you are able to compute the current solvency ratio. Is it as simple as taking your tangible equity and dividing it by your net premium, or is there a different formula that you use in computing this? And thirdly, my question is regards to the number of participants in your voluntary private pension. I can see that this has been declining over the past 2 years or so, and is this as a result of auto-enrollment, or is there some kind of cannibalization that's taking place there? Thank you.
Right. First of all, the first question is on mathematical reserve. There is no specific mathematical reserve releases that was driving the profitability. So there was a significant increase in the premiums and earned premiums. This is the main driver of the profitability. There is no sort of mathematical reserve correction or so. Secondly, solvency ratio 176 is based on local solvency regime. The solvency to ratio is better to 230%. Maybe we can disclose that in the next pack as well. But 176 is total assets, total retained earnings over solvency required capital. So it's a simple calculation. On an economic basis, I have solvency too is 230. And the last question is a pension number of participants. Yes, it has been declining over the years. This is true for the whole market. There are sort of two reasons for this, actually three reasons. One is, you know, the impact of auto-enrollment certainly have reduced the potential in private pension. This is unignorable. There is a cannibalization impact, of course. If an employee, employer enrolls their employee, they are less likely to buy a separate pension policy. This is one. Secondly, because of industry, let's say, trends, also giving more and more, let's say, emphasis on alternative products such as life protection or long-term life products, this has had an impact, you know, slightly reduced appetite to sell pensions, especially given the future uncertainties. How aggressive we want to be is a matter of strategic thinking. We don't want to promise a lot to the customers for a long-term product where we are not certain about the upcoming changes, second. And maybe thirdly is the economic hardship caused a lot of customers cash their policies out to help them out during the hard times. I think this was an unfortunate case, but you know, just underlines the importance of having a savings like a private pension as a buffer during the time of economic crisis. We fulfilled as an industry our promise partly to our customers. And so these are the three key reasons of the reduced number of participants.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ozan Vural from Yapı Kredi Yatırım. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. I had two questions. The first one is on the last quarter technical profitability of the pension business. I calculated it as negative for the last quarter. What was the main driver of this? And my second question is on maybe if you can please give us some color on the pension business growth for 2020, if you can please. I know that you didn't provide it in the guidance, but maybe if you can give some color for your growth projections for the assets under management.
Okay. Now, first of all, the fourth quarter technical profit that you are referring to is fully loaded expenses on the SFRS basis, local GAAP basis. In local GAAP, there is a technical profit definition after allocation of all expenses. To be honest, we don't look at it like that in IFRS basis because the cost allocation across different product lines could be tricky and arbitrary. Therefore, we tend to look at the profit before expense allocation, and this is how our definition in IFRS profitability is. So I would say it's just a technical matter that it shows a negative technical profit in the last quarter. It's because of the cost allocations between different product lines. It's a technical matter. And in terms of pension business growth, well, normally, we would expect a similar growth rate over the last 4 or 5 years, similar to last 4 or 5 years, somewhere between 20 to 30%. To be honest, if the markets perform well, it will be closer to 30%. If the markets don't do that well, maybe we can see low 20s.
Thank you.
I hope this answers. And maybe I should add that our scenario assumes positive market environment for the coming year.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you can do it by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
There is also a question about the pensions, a written question, about the differentiated position of Ayvasa versus the market in terms of a number of participants trend. Yes, it's true that the Ayvasa has, well, we never focused on number of participants per se. We are more focused on number of total assets under management. Particularly because that there are a lot of, let's say, low-paying customers and participants, whereas we are more focused on higher, relatively higher end of the market. And secondly, I should say that because of all uncertainties related to upcoming regulatory changes that we see as a positive expectation. We have a positive expectation from the upcoming regulatory changes. Yes, but we don't have the clarity about this, and therefore we are not that aggressive in our pensions new sales. We are more focused at the moment in generating more value from our existing customer base. In terms of net new contributions into the system. We are selling still, but not as aggressively as a couple of years ago. Right. think there are no further questions. Is there? No. I think if there are no more questions.
Yes.
All right. Okay, then. Since there are no more questions, just we would like to close that meeting as a conclusion. Conclusion remark that 2019 was a good year for Avivasa, and 2020 expectations are also rather positive, as reflected in our guidance that was issued. So I would like to thank you all for listening, and the recording of this call will be present in our investor relations page, and you can contact our investor relations department or finance department for any further questions and queries. Hope to talk to you during our first quarter call later on in the year. Thank you very much for joining and listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's webcast call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.